Good morning, everyone. Can everybody hear me okay? Awesome. Thank you. I come to you today as a preacher, a lay preacher, but still a preacher. The Reverend Ralph David Abernathy once said that the secret to good preaching is to stop borrowing from other preachers and start stealing outright from them. With that in mind, I plan to outright steal from our former minister, Reverend Anya Sandler Michael. In her farewell sermon, Beginnings, Endings, Beginnings, Reverend Anya gave charges to UCS for how we engage with the world and how we see what is possible as a congregation. And she challenged us to live into our mission and embrace abundance in sharing our gifts of time, talent, and treasure. And yes, that is a shameless plug for the upcoming stewardship campaign. But what spoke most to me was her final charge, the spiritual charge. Reverend Anya praised our congregation's generosity of spirit. She noted that we had never asked her to hide her faith, that, quote, "In this generosity of spirit, you have given me my God." I have attended this church for close to 20 years, and I can attest that this praise of UCS is well-founded. Reverend Anya then added this, quote, "The same room that you have given me to feel my God, to experience my God, give it to another. Let the pagan beside you pray to the east, west, north, and south. Let the Jew mouth the words of the 21st Psalm. Let the Christian get down on her knees and worship Jesus. Let the Buddhist thumb her mala beads. Let the Hindu burn incense to feed the hungry deities. Let the atheist speak solely and resolutely for science. Let the Muslim praise the Prophet and his holy name. Let none of these feel the smack of your disdain." It got better, or worse, depending on how you look at it. Quote, "And I beg you, do not stop at mere tolerance. Go farther. Revel in their faith. Be amazed by the way they seek truth and spirit. Let their practice touch your soul. Remember also the power that you have." This is the most amazing power. "The power to give one another God. The power to give one another God. The power to give the gift of God to one another." That broke my heart when I heard it. And I knew I would have to speak to it. I've been a Unitarian Universalist the majority of my adult life, and know well that the generosity of spirit UUs have, and UUCS has in abundance, is also limited in ways that limit our faith, that keep us from being able to give the gift of God, as Reverend Anya charged. She spoke to these limitations, saying, "This is a harder ask than you might think. I have heard the atheist doubt the Christian. I have heard the Buddhist scoff at the Jew. Yes, even here. Sometimes we don't realize the power of our words or the power of our rolling eyes." I knew exactly what she meant. We have raised our children as Unitarian Universalists. And I can tell you, teaching them not to mock the faith of others has been the single biggest challenge in guiding their spiritual growth. Make no mistake, our religious educators do not influence our children to engage in mockery. We do. And it is a sin and a shame that we do. I said I was here as a preacher, remember? What makes us scoff at devout expressions of faith? What stands between us and reveling in the faith rather than merely tolerating it. I have a few ideas, which I'll share, none of which I claim as my own. But that may help us take on Reverend Anya's charge. Not all of these will ring true for all of you, but I hope some will. Sometimes we fear losing our spiritual grounding. Our beliefs and spiritual practices provide safety and comfort in a world that is most definitely not safe and comfortable. It is natural. We resist putting that at risk and exposing ourselves to beliefs that we may reject or worse, find outright offensive. Reverend Anya addressed this as part of her charge, speaking to, quote, the power you have to bequeath the holy, to bequeath ultimate truth. How? By bearing witness, by allowing your neighbor's truth to touch you. Not to change you, not necessarily, though that is always a possibility, but just by allowing your neighbor's truth to touch your own. That is the key. By simply bearing witness to our neighbor's truth, being open to it, hearing it, holding it, whether we agree with all they say or not, whether we would speak the same words or not, if we do that, we allow the possibility that something, some part of their truth, will speak to our own. Oh, you feel a pillar. I feel a snake. Wait a minute. And I'm sorry, but I have never met a UU whose convictions weren't strong enough to withstand that experience. In spite of that strength, we sometimes fear being vulnerable to the beliefs of others. I understand. If you came to UUism from a wounding religious history, this is hard to overcome. I even thought about giving a trigger warning at the start of my sermon, but decided against it. If you know me, and most of you do, you know that if one day I stood up in joys and sorrows and declared, my joy today is that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, okay, it would be weird. But it would not be a threat to the integrity of your belief system. If you are in this congregation, you are surrounded by members and friends who are in covenant to protect and defend your right of conscience. If we're doing it right, no one need ever be afraid of being vulnerable in this space. We sometimes fear being wrong. You might think that a preacher couldn't weave fire and brimstone into a Unitarian Universalist sermon, but here it is. I put it to you, my friends, that if you fail to attend to your faith as a UU, you will go to hell. That's right, friends, you will go to hell. Because if what is beyond our understanding is not worth your consideration and care, it will turn out that, in spite of everything you learned in college philosophy, the afterlife is exactly as they taught it to you in Sunday school, complete with St. Peter at the pearly gates, angels with hearts sitting on clouds, wings, halos, the whole show. And you will have to admit that you were wrong. And since a Unitarian Universalist would rather go to hell than be wrong... That was fun. When it comes to our view of the divine, we tend to confuse being mistaken with being wrong. The two are very different. The mice in the fable were mistaken, thinking the elephant was a pillar or a snake or whatever. But being mistaken simply means being imperfect, being limited in our understanding, being human. We can gain by owning our limited view of the divine and looking to each other to fill the gaps in our incomplete truths. Reverend Anya said that allowing our truths to touch, quote, is how we bequeath the holy, by witnessing how it touches another. An increased understanding of divine truth will be there in the crux of that relationship, in the meeting and the merging of your souls. That, dear friends, is the white mouse we so badly need. We sometimes fear being ignorant. My stepbrother, Reverend Chris Bice, is a Unitarian Universalist minister in Knoxville, Tennessee. I delight in visiting his congregation, and when I visit, I make a point to sit in the front row because I know he delights in trolling me with the following anecdote. My mother, upon hearing that I was joining a UU congregation, declared, "I am so happy that Brian has found a religion where God is as smart as he is." And I just say, bring it, just come on. I protest that I never made any such assertion. But ultimately, that's beside the point. The story really isn't about me. It's about us. UUs can be relentlessly intellectual about religion. If we cannot square a religious tenet with our rationality, we reject it out of hand as so much superstition. We hold ourselves as capable of, as any theologian, to determine what is and is not worthy of our belief. In some ways, we really do have to be as smart as God. And God has to be as smart as we are. Because the notion that we may be ignorant is offensive to us. Our flaw is that we mistake ignorance for stupidity. Stupidity is the inability to learn. I can't speak for everyone in the National Capital Region, but I can safely say that nobody in this room is stupid. Ignorance is simply the origin of knowledge. Einstein was ignorant of the general theory of general relativity, until he theorized it. The blind mice in the story were ignorant that they were feeling an elephant. It was not until they shared and appreciated each other's understanding without judgment that they gained knowledge. Approaching each other's religious beliefs without judgment, that's the trick. But it's no easy trick. All faith traditions mix affirmation and judgment. For every he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. There is, thou shalt not lie with mankind. It is an abomination. For every Allah is the most compassionate, most merciful. There is, and as for those who disbelieve, I will punish them in this world and the hereafter. And so on. And it isn't that judgment or negation by itself is necessarily destructive. It is necessary to negate what we wish not to have in the world in order to affirm what we do. We negate racial supremacy in order to affirm racial equality, for instance. But negating another's incomplete view of the divine truth based on our own incomplete view of divine truth simply ensures that no one understands anything. But, you say, we are a faith that embraces affirmation. It says so right on our webpage. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote. Here's the problem. Unlike the fundamentalist Christian who proclaims that members of the LGBTQ community are damned by a vengeful God who only loves heterosexuals, or the jihadist who proclaims that infidels deserve to die by his hand in the name of an equally vengeful Allah, Unitarian Universalists, too, negate the beliefs and faith practices of others. It simply isn't official. and we're quiet about it. For all of our self-righteousness about being diverse and welcoming and open, we judge the beliefs of others against our own limited, rational, but limited view of the divine. And not surprisingly, we find them wanting if they feel to align with our views. And so we are disconnected and sort ourselves into factions of those who only see what we see and say what we say. What a waste. Worse still, we reserve a special smack of disdain for the faith tradition with which we are most familiar, and so lose the opportunity to spiritually move or be moved by those closest to us. Unitarian Universalists tend to treat Orthodox beliefs, and most particularly the ones we grew up with, as religious kryptonite. Why? Yes, I know I've expressed a variety of reasons we do this, but seriously, why? What purpose is served by divorcing ourselves from the rest of the religious world? What is to be gained by refusing to hear about the other parts of the universal elephant our brothers and sisters describe? It does not have to be this way. Unitarian Universalism has a unique opportunity among faith practices today. We have the opportunity to be a faith that embraces universal affirmations drawn from the best affirmations of all faith traditions. We have the opportunity to boldly declare there are no children of a lesser God, and there are no lesser children of God. This is not to say we are required to accept as literal truth some of the more imaginative elements of traditional religious thought. But there are elements of every religious tradition that can resonate with, inform, expand our Unitarian Universalist faith. I will leave you with an example of this, drawn from the Jewish tradition. The name of the Hebrew God is Yahweh. I am. It is a profound enigma. It tells the reader that God exists, but cannot be known. That the most important things are beyond our words to express. That there are fundamental limitations to human understanding. And if we attempt to go beyond them, if we lack humility, we are taking a risk. What do we risk? Obviously, you would not fear being struck by the sword of God, as in the Old Testament, okay? Got that. But consider, lack of humility in a larger sense. If we are certain that we have the answers to divine truth within ourselves and need not look beyond ourselves, do we not risk, even if, especially if, that answer is we have no answer, do we not risk, if not our lives, at least the chance to learn from one another? Do we not risk losing the chance to be more than we are now? Is this such a foreign concept to Unitarian Universalism, that what is divine is inexpressible and greater than our individual selves? That we belong to a blessed community? That we are part of an interdependent web of all existence. Now, my friends, this is a familiar idea. This is a powerful idea. And it can inform and enrich our worship. I put it to you that it might even help answer the question. What do Unitarian Universalists believe? You thought you were going to get out of the sermon without hearing that one? Oh, no. By embracing the humility of describing the divine as I am and combining it with our Unitarian Universalist principles, we might instead describe our belief in all that is holy in a way that is authentic to us, that holds meaning for us, with an equally enigmatic and no less profound expression. There is We believe there is something beyond the reach of our understanding that moves us, that inspires us. There is beauty in love in all its diversity, a beauty within people in all their diversity. There is that you and I and everyone in this room and everyone beyond this room can share the gift of life with each other, can give the gift of God to each other if we choose to give and accept that gift. There is a light. There is a light in each one of us that goes to the core of being human and being in this world, this universe, together as one, if we choose to see it, if we choose to share it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There is a light that shines on the worth and dignity of every person.
Amen.
That shines on love.
Amen.
That shines on acceptance.
Amen.
That shines on truth and meaning.
Amen.
That shines on the right of conscience.
Amen.
That shines on the goal of world community.
Amen.
That shines on the web of all existence.
Amen.
It is your light and my light. And there is no dark corner that all our light together can't make bright.
Amen.
And I'm going to let it shine.